What's going on, Las Vegas? You are listening to episode number 6 of KY Radio. It is Tuesday, April 9th, 2019. It's a little windy here in Vegas today. I feel like it's a goddamn hurricane going on outside. Just a little bit, right?
I just got back from the store. I almost lost my bag of groceries.
What'd you buy, Danny?
Macaroni.
Always a good choice for dinner. It's
Skippy, it is.
I think
pasta is always a good choice.
Oh, absolutely. I think I might actually have some tonight. But I'm your host, Ryan Quigley. And folks, I've got to get a little something off my chest here. If you know me well, you know that you probably know my feelings about the city of Newark, New Jersey. And just knowing that Jack Hughes, the sweet baby boy that he is going to have to play hockey in Newark, New Jersey, it makes me want to dive into a lake with cinder blocks tied to my waist. I feel sick. I feel betrayed by the NHL. I feel like Jack Hughes, that wonderful child, 17 years old, deserves so much better. I can't believe that this has happened. I would like to die at any given moment now. Awful.
This is a family podcast. There will be no suicide.
No. I'm just saying, I would embrace death if it were to occur this very moment. So,
if it comforts you at all, he will likely have a beautiful city view apartment in Hoboken, New Jersey.
Just the city you want to live in, Hoboken, New Jersey, baby. That's where you want to go.
So there is nothing wrong with New Jersey.
Except for all of New Jersey. But that's a whole other conversation for another day. That voice you just heard was the one, the only, Mr. Danny Webster. Danny, how are you today, sir?
I'm doing well. I don't know if we're doing a podcast or not, though.
Why is that?
The reason why I say that is because that was probably the most lackluster intro you've given in the 6 episodes we've done this podcast. What the fuck, Ryan?
Why? Because I'm not screaming?
That's what I'm saying. I was literally, like, bracing myself for you to, you know, let out some sort of primal yell, and here we get just the traditional radio opening. I don't know what the fuck we're doing here.
I know. So I basically decided that the quality comes out better when I'm not screaming, so I figured, you know what? I'm just going to keep it mellow, try and be a normal human being, and just do it the way that sounds good. So I guess that was the responsible for the change, I guess. So
that noise you just heard was our ratings dropping.
Oh man. So that's what that FUD was outside. That wasn't caused by the wind.
No, that wasn't the wind. That's our ratings going bye-bye.
Yikes. We'll have to change this up, folks.
Apple Store is a blessing and a curse.
Yeah, it is. You know, this would be a whole different story if my goddamn mic would work, because then I wouldn't have to worry about my quality. I'd be screaming until my lungs flew out of my mouth. But, you know, that's a problem I'll have to get
Your visuals addressed. Today are on point, however, I will say that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'd spend much of my time thinking of these asinine, crazy visuals for everybody. But you just heard another voice there, and that voice is Miss Ellis Frederick, all the way in New York City. Ellis, how are you?
Yes, I am good. I have something on my mind, speaking of New York. I work at a sports book. Sports come up quite often. There are a few Islanders fans in my office. It's an Australian company, and a lot of the Australians have really taken to the Islanders this year, which is cute. But one of the Americans asked me, after Tavares had his homecoming of sorts, he asked me what I thought about Islanders fans booing Tavares the whole time that he was there, and all I said was trash. That was the only word I uttered, and he was like, well, no, I mean, it's not like that. I mean, he, like, really abandoned us, you know what I mean? You're doing fine without him. You can relax. I find hatred of a player after they've left for what's, in my opinion, a better opportunity to be a little ridiculous. As someone from Ohio who has experienced this with the one, the only LeBron James.
Just like LeBron.
Get over yourself, my man. It's going to be okay.
It is just like LeBron.
You're in the playoffs.
This is worse than LeBron, though. Like, no one called LeBron Pajama Boy, to my knowledge. No one made videos like that insane one that went viral on Twitter that everyone was making fun of that aired on the local news. Like, what the fuck are they doing up? Chill out, guys. Like, just have a beer. Take a shot.
I think a lot of people are really mad at LeBron, for what it's worth. But I think that we forget that because he returned. Like, people were so pissed at LeBron for a while.
Yeah.
It was bad. People were burning his jersey.
That I remember. And they were doing the same thing to Tavares, too. And it, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll never understand.
I think it's that extra Long Islandness that really makes it trashy.
Yeah. Yeah. I think what I'll never understand is when people burn these jerseys that they spent like $100 for. I'm like, you know, you look stupid. You could at least get $15 for that. I'm like, you know, sell it to Goodwill or something.
Donate it, my God.
Yeah, like, you can do something with that and get some value back. Now you're just literally burning maybe 10, 15 bucks for something that could be sold at the clearance section in the store. But whatever, that's a discussion for another day. And then last but certainly not least, folks, we have the KOI MVP, Miss Jillian Wagner. Jillian, how are you?
What's up? I'm doing well. I was going to say something about Cody Eakin, but I feel like in order to match the intensity of this podcast, I'll get something off my chest that's not fully it's not hockey related, but people who talk in the movies and text on their phone, they should be banned. Theaters should enforce it.
You know what, Jillian?
There should be lists. Someone should be hired. I would volunteer for the job to make sure that people cannot go again.
I'm thrilled that you're bringing this up. Anyone who does this, if you're listening to this podcast and you do that, I hope you get arrested and I hope you get beaten in jail. Because you know what? I was at the movies not too long ago. It was just last week. And I was trying to enjoy this feature film. And all of a sudden, there's this guy in the back. First of all, he's texting and he had the little ticking sound still on when he was doing it. So I was already kind of pissed. And then next thing you know, he's like talking to like his three friends and they're whispering to each other the whole time. I almost turned around and just like threw my little Dr. Pepper on him. It's unbelievable. People have no manners in the movie theater. And I, for one, will not stand for it. So if you do that, may God have mercy on your soul. You're a pile of trash. So we're not here to talk about the movies though, folks. Obviously we have some sports related things to talk about. The Vegas Golden Knights are going, they're going back to the playoffs this year. 2 years, two trips to the playoffs. And we have a fun little date with the San Jose Sharks beginning tomorrow, Wednesday, the 10th of April. Tomorrow night at 10:30. It's 10:30, right? Or is it 10 o'clock?
7:30. It's
10:30. Well, 10:30 p.m. Eastern time, 7:30.
You're on the Eastern West Coast, yeah. Quigs.
I know. I'm still in that weird part of, like, moving from the East Coast to the West Coast where you're still kind of in both time zones mentally.
So, you know what? Don't even worry, because when I was finishing up my series preview today, I went back to the post we had about when the schedule was released, and I looked at it, and I put Eastern times, and I didn't even notice it until I put it in the sidebar.
Oh, really?
So when I put it in the sidebar, I looked at it, and I was like, wait a minute, that says 10:30. What the son of a bitch?
Jesus Christ.
And I edited it, and I was like, fine. So it still says 10:30 on the schedule post that we ran on Sunday, but, you know, whatever.
That's fine. That's fine. That's literally fine. No one noticed except for you,
literally,
probably.
No one noticed except for me.
Yeah, that's good. So, well, until now. Now everyone's going to go back and notice now. But you know what? Just who cares? Doesn't matter. Time for the Yoffs, baby. Golden Knights, Sharks tomorrow night. How are you guys feeling going into this? I know there's, you know, a lot of optimism going into this, and there's no reason not to be optimistic. The Knights have been pretty good against the Sharks historically, and I say historically as if this is like a 10-year rivalry, but you know, it feels like it feels one right like now. It. Yeah, the way that they played in that last game, like they were literally trying to kill each other. Like Joe Thornton literally took his stick and put it on Ryan Reeves' throat and appeared to have applied some pressure on his jugular. So I'm going to assume that these teams truly hate each other and despise each other and want to inflict death on one another. So, you know, how are you guys feeling about this going into it?
Y'all know how I feel. Go ahead.
I think I feel pretty positively. Like, you know that despite being a younger... Not a younger. Well, yes, a younger team, but also a lower seed. The Golden Knights are number 3. The San Jose Sharks are number 2. And yet, the Golden Knights are favored, according to odds from sports books across the board, to
pretty
win
weird,
this
right?
series. It is very bizarre. I mean, Carlson... From what I can gather, he's healthy again, right? I haven't been, like, keeping up with that completely well. But
Erik Karlsson's back.
That,
he'll be fine.
Yeah, he's back.
That definitely helps the San Jose Sharks, I'm not going to lie. But I don't think that it's necessarily going to be enough. I think that the Golden Knights know how to play the Sharks. They know what they're up against and that they're probably going to come out victorious from this round.
Jillian, how are you feeling?
Yeah.
Because I know
I think that's fair. I think the Sharks have a lot of depth, a lot more than last year with Thornton healthy and Nyquist. You know, the top three lines were very consistent this season, but the Sharks entered the playoffs on a cold streak, and Martin Jones had a really tough year. So I think, you know, the Knights are in a good spot, and I think they'll definitely be up for it.
So you guys think my
thrive.
That I'm sorry, Julia. So
no,
you guys think that
say, yeah. No, go ahead.
I keep interrupting everybody. It's a horrible habit. So you guys think that my NHL 19 simulation is going to be totally wrong?
Yes. Did your simulation include Mark Stone?
Yes, it did. Yeah. Believe it or not, included Mark Stone.
Oh wow.
Martin Jones had 3 shutouts in the series, so that's how you know it's
a
video game.
I mean, it's not just a video game. It just shows that the NHL series has been broken for, like, 5 years.
Yeah. Things need to change.
That's not even a lie. Yeah. That's just truth.
Like, see, that's one of the things, though, of this whole series. Like, so last season, you remember the Caps going into the playoffs. People were wondering who was going to be starting in net. Is it going to be Holtby? Is it going to be Grubauer? Then they start Grubauer for a little bit and, you know, didn't go quite the way they wanted it to. They go back to Holtby and all of a sudden he woke up and he led them all the way to the Stanley Cup and they won the whole thing. So people are questioning Martin Jones. Is it possible that he could have some sort of awakening, something kind of close to what Holtby did last year? Not saying he'll do what Holtby did last year, but do you think he could maybe wake up a little bit and catch that eye of the tiger just enough to kind of take Vegas out early?
It's absolutely possible. But are we really going to sit here and try and figure that out?
No, absolutely.
I mean, let's be real, and we talked about this last podcast. This series and any series Vegas is in going down the stretch is going to come down to goaltending. Who are you going to take?
Yeah, it's
Fleury,
a pretty easy decision. Yeah.
You're going to take Marc-Andre Fleury, who, yeah, gave up 8 goals in his last 2 starts after missing the last 2-3 weeks, but for the most part, played pretty well. I mean, he didn't. The GAA and the save percentage are kind of eh, but you know what? You'll take that for a guy who hasn't played in 3 weeks. He played really well.
And let's also keep in mind that the Knights literally did not care those last few games at all.
Or are you going to take Martin Jones, who's been pulled 5 times in 13 career games against Golden Knights?
Yeah. It's a weird
like,
thing.
It's
you know?
Not. It's not. It, Martin Jones it can be a solid goaltender against any other team in the NHL. Against the Golden Knights, he has trouble. And I look back to the last year's playoff series. Game 1... Vegas blanks him 7-0. Game 5, series tied 2-2 back in Vegas. It should not have been a 5-3 final score. Vegas, I think, stormed out to a 4-0 lead after 2.
Yeah.
They dominated that game from start to finish. You allowed 3 goals in the third period. You take those off the board, Vegas dominated, and then a 3-0 shutout in Game 6 to clinch it. Martin Jones is going to have the series of his life for not only the Sharks to get past this series, but to if they want to make a run at the Stanley Cup. Because, yeah, San Jose is stacked. They got 4 30-goal scorers. They're very, very dynamic, very explosive. But if Martin Jones does not make the saves that he needs to make and does not make the plays that he needs to make, Vegas is going to win this series. It's just, I get it. Some people can say it's a coin flip, but in an offensive-minded series, Vegas has just amount as much offense as San Jose does. And it's going to come down to who's going to make the most stops in the end. And, of course, that's probably going to be Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yeah. Do you think that this is the kind of series where they got a lot of agitators on that Sharks team? Do you think that this is the kind of thing where, you know, maybe they can get under the Knights' skin just a bit where it kind of throws them off their game?
No. I don't think so. I mean, that you talk to anybody in that locker room, yeah, they're going to – you never see this team get agitated over anything. And part of it is probably because they got 75 waiting in the wings ready to knock somebody out if that's the case. But outside of that, the Golden Knights are a team that they don't get agitated. They don't get bothered by what the other team is doing. Gerard Gallant preaches, go play your game – and go do what you need to do on the ice. And that paid off last year in the playoffs. You know, Winnipeg tried to get under skin. San Jose tried to get under skin a little bit. And it didn't work. Vegas continued to play the way that they played and made it all the way to the Cup final. So I don't see Vegas falling into that kind of trap, because especially if they can win at least one of these first two in San Jose, they go back to Vegas with a really good chance to win the next two. They're not going to let that opportunity squander. Yeah. I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, and you're right. They don't get agitated too much unless someone touches Fleury and then Marchessault comes in like a bat out of hell and just beats the shit out of somebody. Oh,
spider monkey.
He
spider
is the monkey. Angry Marchessault, feisty Marchessault. Easily, my God. It's one of the highlights. I think we've seen more feisty Marchessault this year, really in the last month or so, than we saw all of last season, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, we definitely have.
I love feisty Marchessault.
I think it's a really positive thing, two things here, that one, this team is clearly very close in the locker room. It's not just that these are their coworkers. They deeply care about each other. They're going to lift each other up no matter what, no matter who's on what line, no matter who scores the goal. And the second thing is that they kind of have this like incredibly rare chance to be a team that's only ever had winning seasons. So how much can an opposing team really get under their skin when they've been nothing but good historically? It's so new that they can just come in there and let their record speak for itself. They don't have to resort to like petty fights or things like that. And sure, throw Ryan Reeves there if you need to, but for the most part, their work speaks for itself.
Yeah. Now, Ellis, you brought up leadership and everything. I'm really excited to see how this team does in the postseason with Stone in the mix, because we saw what happened when they got Stone in the regular season. They turned things around and, you know, they had a little bit of a dry spell there. But once they clinched that playoff spot, they were basically on autopilot. They didn't really care at all. And so I'm really excited to see what kind of difference he makes this year compared to last year's team. I'm really excited to see how he affects the locker room and how he affects the on-ice play in the postseason, because, you know, he's coming from a horrible Senators team where obviously they weren't making the playoffs. They weren't successful this year or the last year. And, you know,
they are a team.
They are a team. In fact, they are, as are the Cleveland Browns. Well, I can't make that joke anymore.
Are we talking about the 13-3 Cleveland Browns? Are we really putting them in the same breath as the Ottawa Senators?
But, you know, you have a guy coming from a horrible team to a team where, and this is, you know, kind of what he wanted, a playoff team. And it'll be a lot of fun to see how they kind of rally around him and if he kind of takes the reins as the voice in the postseason. Because I think we can all agree that this is Fleury and England's locker room, but I mean, when you have Stone inserted into the mix, you have to assume that he's going to have a voice in there too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have two defensive players. I'm going to call Fleury a defensive player because he's defending the goal.
Yeah.
But then to have someone who is making an impact on offense as well, that, I mean, that's huge.
Are you saying that Derek England doesn't make an impact on offense?
That.
What are you talking about, Ellis?
It's a hot take.
Well, he is a defensive player, and that's what I'm going to say on that.
All Shut I'm down saying is, yeah, all I'm saying is Derek England is just, watch out for the Norris Trophy votes next year, guys. That's all I'm saying. Derek England,
you are
baby.
Criticizing a man who has Barry Sanders-like agility, Walter Payton-like footwork, and you are really about to say that he is not worthy of the Norris Trophy? Get the fuck out of here.
I just, like, coughed up a hairball because just thinking of that against the Kings, I can't remember who it was. Was it against the Kings? Or
no,
was it against...
It
was against the Coyotes. It was Richard Ponick. Who he, like, juked out of his goddamn skates. And I'm watching from the press box, and all I heard, I was looking down at my computer, and all I heard was everyone go, whoa! And I look up, and I was like, who's got the puck? And I was looking at every player, every skater on the ice who wasn't Derek England. Because I knew that they were the ones that did something. And then I was like, what the hell happened? I look up at the screen and Derek England makes Richard Ponick go flying. And I honestly, I don't think I've ever been more shell-shocked in my entire life. I could not speak for a full five minutes.
I guarantee you the minute he did that, I don't know if he looked at the press box. But I guarantee you, the minute that he did that, he looked up and, or somewhat in the vicinity.
Take that,
and said,
Ryan
that
Quigley.
Fucking Ryan Quigley.
Take that.
Writing that bullshit about me, that I'm not a top tier defenseman. I'm going to show this motherfucker.
You son of a bitch, you. I got you now, buddy. Well, you know what? I got to give him credit for that. He's, when he did, I watched that replay like 20 times in a row. That was a shining moment for him in his career. But you know, we bring up England, and I think we do have to talk about. Do we think that he should continue to receive as many minutes as he has in the postseason? I'm not going to say that he should be scratched. He should not be at all. He's a huge, obviously the locker room presence. Of course, but there is a place for him in this lineup because he can play well in the defensive zone. But do we think that he should continue to play 20 plus minutes every night, or should they use him more as like in a sheltered type of role?
I mean, how do you divvy up those minutes? I mean, do you put the top four out there and hope that they can carry you for 22, 23 minutes throughout the playoffs, and your third pairing, which would be, God forbid, Colin Miller and Derek England? I mean, how do you divvy that up? That's your biggest question. Like, if you want Derek England to play less minutes, you got to put him on a third pairing. And even then, you're still going to put him out there for 17, 18 minutes a night, maybe a little bit more, especially in the playoffs. But then the question is, who do you pair him with? You're not gonna put Nate Schmidt as your third pair defenseman. Then you're gonna switch up the pairings this late in the postseason. I mean, I see the ideology behind it, but right now, really, there's really no time to do it. I mean, the only other option you're gonna have is throw Jimmy Schultz out there and hope to God he can do something. But
point per game player Jimmy Schultz, by the way.
Yeah, I mean Hobie Baker final is Jimmy Schultz too. But I mean, throwing him out there in the postseason obviously is not the right answer. You got to figure out what you want. Right. I mean, you got to figure out what you want to do, and you got to figure out who you want to pair him with.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I mean, can you get away with Colin Miller playing 17 minutes a night? Sure, but I don't know. But then who do you put John Merrill with?
Yeah.
A lot of questions you have to figure out. And
I think what I would love to see, and I know one of our writers, Shepard Price, will not enjoy me saying this, but I would love to see the Theodore England pairing put back together, because I feel like that is when England seems to play his best, is when he's paired with Shea Theodore. And Theodore has enough offense where he can kind of make up for England's deficiencies in the offensive zone and his ability to drive play. And then I feel like that would allow Theodore to kind of take a little more, be a little more risky, take some more chances. Obviously, right now, he's with Braden McNabb, who, in his own right, he plays well in the defensive zone as well. He's certainly not an offensive guru by any means of the imagination. But, you know, do you think it's an apples and oranges thing with England and with McNabb? Or do you think one of them fits better with Shea Theodore right now? Because I like England better with Theodore, but I don't know. I want to hear you guys give an opinion on that.
Well, I'll let Ellis and Jillian chime in a second, but the reason why he's doing so well with McNabb is because you can put McNabb on the right side and Theodore on the left side.
Yeah.
Or actually, no, flip that. You can put Theodore on the right side, McNabb on the left side, and that opens up the ice a whole lot more for Theodore, which is why if you pair him with Englund, he has to go back to the left, Englund on the right. So that's your big conundrum. So that's why he's playing better with McNabb, and I think that's probably why you're going to see that pairing going forward. But I just wanted to throw that in there before y'all gave your take on that.
Yeah.
Right. And I think, you know, having Schmidt and McNabb on the ice, you know, covering a lot of minutes with San Jose's depth might be important because, you know, they have scoring on three lines, and I think they're going to need to divide those minutes intelligently. Obviously, you know, Englund can be a liability, but I think it's important to have, you know, some top defensive defensemen on the ice most of the time if they can. So I think, I mean, you would put them back together in that situation, right? But then, so that would just be one pair. No?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's,
I mean,
that's
they're
the
really,
problem.
San Jose's yeah. second line is arguably better than the top line, so I don't know.
And that's one of the tricky things that Gerard Gallant is going to have to figure out is when he's making these matchups is how do you shut down those, you know, that top six of San Jose. But you know, that's one of the things. But then earlier, Ellis, you brought up a good point too about Erik Karlsson's return. How are they gonna shut down Vegas's top six? Because obviously they have quite a formidable top six too, with Max Pacioretty, Paul Stastny. Forget about the first line. Imagine having to stop them in the offensive zone, and then all of a sudden you look up and, you know, you clear the puck out of the zone, and here comes Stastny, Pacioretty, Alex Tuch, you know, Mark Stone. Like, that's kind of that's got to be a kind of slap in the face for the other, you know, for the opposing team in that situation. What do you guys think Erik Karlsson brings to that table for San Jose that they have kind of missed recently?
Y'all want to go ahead with that one? Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, I think it took the Sharks a while to figure things out with Burns and Karlsson. I know in practice yesterday, I believe, it was Vlasic and Burns skating together, so I think Karlsson may have, not sheltered minutes, but maybe at least to start when he's coming back. I think, you mean offensively or defensively?
Just really clarify. Both.
And kind of both.
Okay, because I was going to say, I think they may, earlier on, well, I think it's tough. He's only played one game, but I think that Burns and Vlasic will probably, although, as you said, I don't know which line they'll focus on. I guess the top line for Vegas, but Karlsson's also not on the top power play, so I think he'll kind of be eased back into things. And we'll see whether he's Erik Karlsson or whether he's still hurt, but I think Burns has had a lot of success against the Knights, and that's probably, he's more of a threat to me at least, against the Knights.
Yeah.
Burns has had, sorry
about that, Danny, go ahead.
No, I was going to say Burns has had success, but Vegas's forecheck against San Jose is their biggest weapon, and that's how you neutralize those guys. Now, isn't it funny that we're saying that a two-time Norris Trophy winner is kind of sheltered? Not saying that the word choice you used, Jillian, was bad.
Yeah, yeah.
But you look just how stacked that blue line is. And we're talking about a guy who in 53 games still put up 52 points. And they're easing him back into the rotation. I mean, I was talking to Nick Costanica, colleague of mine from NHL.com, who was at Vegas practice a couple days ago. And we were just kind of talking about how the importance of Carlson is going to be in the series. And the one thing that I figured out, you know, in the 2 years that we've covered this team, it does not take much for anybody, as a skater especially, just glide right back into the lineup and act like they haven't missed a beat. Like, goaltenders maybe, because you got to shake off the rust and you have to kind of get back in the flow and you got to read the puck a little bit better. But if you're a defenseman or if you're a skater, you can just fall right back in the lineup and act like nothing's changed. Carlson, I think, is going to need to have a big series for a couple of reasons. One, I think it gives you that secondary scoring element on the blue line outside of Burns when he's going to be paired with Vlasic, which those guys can present a problem both in the offensive zone and in the defensive zone. Carlson is going to need to have a big series in the scoring department because it adds that secondary scoring element. But second and most importantly, and we kind of touched on it with Mark Stone a little bit, and I was gonna bring this point up. It is imperative for Erik Karlsson to have a big series because of this upcoming summer. Because he's going to hit the open market, and how this series goes will probably dictate what Erik Karlsson decides to do in free agency, whether he stays with the Sharks, whether he goes elsewhere. And I don't think that's a factor that a lot of people are talking about. And if he has a lackluster series, I'm not saying he's going to lose money off of, you know, missing 29 games. But it is something to think about.
Yeah.
It makes a difference. If he doesn't have a big series, it could be a problem for the Sharks down the road, which is why I think this postseason is so crucial for them. But he himself is going to need a big series because he's the one that wanted out. Well, can we say that he really wanted out of Ottawa?
He probably did.
Okay, that's probably a stupid question. Anybody would want out of Ottawa at this point. But he went to the Stanley Cup contender. He is in the last year of his deal. He's looking for his last big payday. There's a lot of factors into it that I don't think are going to be, you know, hindering his performance, but eyes will be on him. And just because he missed 29 games and has played one game since coming back into the lineup, he needs to play well, and he needs to have a big series. And in the four games against the two or three games that he played against Vegas, I believe it was two, he was quiet. He was very quiet. He did not play well in the first meeting of the year, the 6-0 Black Friday, or that was the Saturday after the Calgary one. So he didn't play well in that one. And then in the second game, when San Jose won, he was just quiet. And you don't want that out of a guy who's considered the best defenseman in the world. He needs to play big. As simple as that.
Something I saw interesting on Twitter earlier today, or maybe it was yesterday, I saw our good friend Shang Pang from Fear the Finn basically talking about the pressure that the Golden Knights play while on the penalty kill. They apply a lot of pressure up ice, and it'll be really, really interesting to see how Erik Karlsson, playing on the power play, a noted good puck mover, how he kind of combats that in Vegas, trying to take down the obviously dynamic power play of the Sharks. Because when you have Erik Karlsson in there, it makes a difference. And that's why I think staying out of the box is going to be pretty important this series. So, he brings a whole nother dimension to the table when you have Erik Karlsson in there. And, people are going to say, oh, well, you know, Vegas beat the Sharks 6-0 when Karlsson was playing. Yeah, but you just can't. He's fire, and you cannot play with fire. Erik Karlsson is, there's a reason why he's arguably the best defenseman in the NHL right now. Danny, you look like you got something that you want to say.
It has nothing to do with hockey. I don't even know if it's relevant to bring up it. Dirk Nowitzki's retiring. It's official.
It's official now?
He's retiring after this season.
Oh, man.
For those who know me, the Dallas Mavericks are my team. Dirk Nowitzki is God. And 21 seasons, he's hanging it up. I'm trying not to cry right now, honestly. On this podcast, I feel like such a wimp. Sorry, this has nothing to do with hockey. This has nothing to do with hockey.
It's sports.
Sports are bad. Noted fact, sports are bad.
Jesus. Like, I was looking
at... I would say they're good. I mean, look at the emotion that they bring out in all of us. It's one of the most tribal things a human can have, a sport team to root for. There's something so beautiful about that.
Yeah, so... I'm good. I'm going to cry later. Probably on my flight to San Jose, I will cry. Let out a hearty cry. My hero, he brought a championship to my favorite team, and it's a sad day.
Should have saw me when the Eagles got rid of Kevin Cobb. Boy, was I crying like a baby.
I'm gonna say those were tears of joy.
Maybe that is what it was. I can't remember. Everything's a blur in Eagles fandom territory. So back to this series.
Back to the series. I'm sorry.
No, you're yeah.
Don't
you're
even,
totally
don't
so
even bother wanted, with me.
No worries at all. So I wanted to bring up, I mean, we brought up Carlson's injury, obviously, but I wanted to bring up the fact that I think this is, God, is this the first time of the season that since, like, not even the beginning, like, Tuck was out in the beginning, that a lot of people are healthy or are going to be healthy for the Golden Knights? Like, I don't know what the Sharks are going to get out of the Golden Knights necessarily, because this is, I mean, this is a different team than it was in the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
It's a different team that was playing in the middle of the season. I feel like they've only gotten together officially in the past 2 weeks or so. Ryan, you were mentioning that the Golden Knights team, the way in which that a player can kind of just come right back in and it's as if they never left. I know he wasn't injured, but I thought of Nate Schmidt when we were talking about this. It was really the most seamless thing that I've ever seen from, like, someone being missing for 20 games. To have him become part of those pairings again was so important, because I feel as though it kind of reset the defense. And now we have this, like, I don't know, I'm kind of going on, like, a rant right now. I feel like I don't really have a direction.
Well, no, you're but, right, though. Like, and Danny, I think it was actually you who was talking about that, how you can just kind of have someone, you know, come right back into the lineup. And, this brings up a good topic of conversation. One has to wonder what is going to happen when Eric Halas skates with the team. So Gerard Gallant came out and said, you guys aren't getting an update right now. You'll get an update when he is skating with the team. He has been skating, but not with the team. He's been skating on his own, and which isn't necessarily a great sign for those hoping that he comes back and plays in the playoffs. But even if he does come back and he does skate with the team and the Golden Knights come out and say, hey, yeah, like, he's healthy, he could play, like, right now, should he play in that situation?
Here's the main difference, as I collect myself. Here's the main difference. Nate Schmidt, when he was suspended, he was over in Austria training with the Vienna Capitals. So he was always constantly
working. He was staying
working.
In good
he
shape
all,
the whole time.
He was staying in good shape. He was always constantly...
I believe he said he was in better shape over there than when he was here.
Yeah, because the drills he was telling me that he was doing...
It was just constant bag
more,
skating.
More ridiculous than what they do in the NHL. Not to say that it's, you know, Bush League, but, man, he was telling me he was being put through the ringer. So that's the main difference. And when he came back, obviously that put a jolt into the team, and they went 16-4-3 over the next 23, and all of a sudden they went from the bottom dwellers of the Western Conference up to, you know, top three, top two in the Pacific Division. With Halla... And we kind of touched on this last podcast, I believe. The thought of having him on the team, you want him to be the threat. You want to have him more so as the threat of having him. The good thing about it is that if you play him in one game, and you don't think that he's fully there, you haven't played with him in 6 months. You can easily take him out of the lineup and put somebody else in. Again, and I harp back on this. Yeah, it's a game changer if Holla is in the lineup for one of these later series. Do you really need him? Maybe not. But it's the threat. And if he doesn't play well, you pull him. You go about your business.
When would they even do that, though? Like, when would they do that, I guess, trial run with him? Because if it's the playoffs, every game, obviously, is a must-win game. So when you're trying to insert him in there, do you really want to take the risk of putting in a player who may or may not be effective after however many months of him being away from the game?
I still think you can get away with round two if you're playing Calgary or Colorado. It wouldn't hurt. I mean, okay, let's say...
If the Knights are up 3-0 in a series,
okay,
then yeah, game four, okay, go ahead and play them. Yeah, that I totally understand. But if it's like 3-2...
Not in that situation. No, if you're going to play Holla, you want to play him in the beginning of the series. So let's just say Vegas gets through the first round, goes to the second, they play Calgary. They go through the first two games in Calgary, they split, come back home for game three. That might be an ideal time if he's ready. Because if, say, Vegas wins in 5, maybe 6 against San Jose, then you get a little bit of extra rest before the second round. And you start practicing with the team, see how it goes. And then if it's, say, it's tied 1-1 going back to Vegas against Calgary, throw him in the home crowd, get him going. Wouldn't hurt. Wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, I think it's also worth noting that he would be on the third line and not in the top six, yeah, which would... Yeah, I mean, that's huge. Our top six is already, like, rock solid, assuming, God forbid, anyone gets hurt again. But the fact that the Golden Knights have that top six, I feel as though Holla would be able to fit into that third line pretty easily without, causing damage. Not that he would necessarily, but it's like... It's a lot less harmful than if he were to, you know, not be on top of his game or is still feeling the effects of his injury and he was on the second line like he was in the beginning of the season.
I think what will be interesting is if he really is healthy and he is ready to go, imagine him on that third line. With, I don't know if he'd be playing center, if he'd be playing wing. It would be that whole situation that we were having over the summer when people were trying to figure out, is he going to be flanking? Is he going to be, you know, the centerman? But my God, Cody Eakin, Tuck, and Howla as your third line is like...
It's a beautiful third line.
It's a beautiful thing to think about.
It's a game changer.
Yeah.
It's a game changer. If you get that as your third line... There is no top nine that rivals that. And especially if he comes back, and Jillian touched on this last podcast as well, you put him on the second power play unit, you get him going, he scores a couple goals here and there, and then all of a sudden you're pretty much rolling in the deep. I mean, it is a game changer for the Golden Knights if he comes back. Will he? I don't know. It depends on the situation. It depends on when they want him back. I think if he starts skating more on his own, I still wouldn't rule out round two, maybe round three.
So, guys, you know, we only got about 15 minutes here left. I do want to go through and ask you guys, who are you picking in the playoffs? So it's playoffs eve, and obviously there's a lot of interesting series that are about to go down. Obviously the one with Vegas is pretty important, so
are we going like series by series and eventually
series
get
by
into
series
the final?
We'll just go ahead and pick them, and so
okay. Oh man,
let's just go through. We'll start with the East.
All right.
We'll start with the East. All right, so Tampa, Columbus. I feel like I know everyone's answer for this.
Tampa. Yeah, it is Tampa.
Go Jackets. No,
go Jackets.
Columbus. No. And four.
Oof. I will tell you what, though, and Tampa is probably going to be the ones coming out of the East for most of us. But, man, what even for Tampa, what a draw in round one. And I know they haven't played their best hockey since they made every single trade that they could possibly have made and literally mortgage their entire future for the next 3 years on this season.
Yeah.
But, man, that's a tough draw for Tampa. I think they rather would have wanted to take Montreal over Columbus, to be honest with you. I'm not saying Columbus would win the series, but
Bobrovsky's, I don't think it's going to be terrible. Yeah.
Bobrovsky's been very good.
But he will be.
But then the playoffs happen.
He will be terrible.
But then the playoffs happen. Yeah. And you know what? Yeah. I'm not going against Kucherov. I'm not going against Stamkos. But all it takes... I mean, we were saying this last year when they were playing against Washington, took the first two in Washington, and then just completely died. But tough draw for Tampa in the first round.
Well, they also have that presidential trophy curse, so.
Yeah, that is true.
You never know.
But you know what? They're at least going to get to the third round, so if you lose the curse by the third round, they're fine.
Boston-Toronto.
Boston.
I know for a fact Boston's going to win. I just know it. Like,
look, I think... either 6 of the 8 series you can say a coin flip. This might be one of them. And I think Boston wins in 7. But this is a coin flip. Toronto is going to be a lot better just because Tavares is in the lineup.
I'll be honest with you. Part of the reason I think and also want the Bruins to win this series is because I can't stand a series where it's two teams with the same color. And that's exactly what the Lightning and the Maple Leafs will be. It drives me insane.
I think about that all the time.
It's a pet peeve of mine. I hate watching a series with two teams with basically the exact same jerseys. Like,
well, maybe it just Toronto drives me nuts. Will wear those green ones.
Yeah, they'll have to wear the St. Pat's unis the entire
series. I don't think
series.
You'll have to worry about that.
Yeah. But I do have Boston winning this one.
Yeah.
Unless one player does not a team make.
It's not, but I mean that's a player that if you had him in Game 7 last year, could be a completely different story, and it also probably depends on how good Frederik Andersen's in it.
What's the over under for how many times or how many games Brad Marchand starts licking people?
Three.
Okay. Is that 3 games until he starts licking people, or 3
it might,
times?
It might take one game for him to lick 3 people. I don't know. He's at least he's been fine about it lately.
Yeah.
I mean, when's the last time we mentioned anything about Brad Marchand's antics?
A while. It's been a bit. I think it was beginning of the season he had kind of a dirty hit on somebody, but I kind of wouldn't hate it if he started licking people again. It was gross, but my God, it was a fun thing to keep track of on Twitter. So, Washington, Carolina, this series is going to be fun because you got Carolina, which, like, to me, they're the most fun team in the league. I love Carolina. They are so much fun. And, like, honestly, I don't think Carolina wins. I think the Caps are gonna win this thing. But, my God, I just want this. At least give me 6 games of these two teams. At least 6.
Give me the bunch of jerks run to the Cup Final. For the love of God.
Could you imagine?
Give me a Stanley Cup Final in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I want Don Cherry front and center for that. Oh, my God.
He would have someone
take me off the ledge and tell me not to pick Carolina in 7. Just somebody do it. I know they're the defending champs. I know that. But when you get a team like that that can build off some momentum, it's really intriguing. Someone tell me not to think Carolina in 7. I'm probably going to pick Washington.
Not for nothing.
Carolina's the Golden Knights of this year.
I was about to say, they kind of remind me a little bit of the Golden Knights from last year.
They're absolutely like that team. And now, obviously, I talked earlier about goaltending. You know, Peter Mrazek's going to have to turn into, you know, what he was early in his career in Detroit if they're going to have a chance. But, man, that team is scary.
I will say.
That's a tough draw for Washington.
My NHL 19 simulation has Carolina winning in 7 games. They took a 3-0 series lead.
Of course
Caps
they did.
Caps came back, of course tied it at did. 3, and then Carolina won game 7. So we'll see what happens there. Pittsburgh Islanders. I hope to God Pittsburgh wins this series because if the Islanders win and they get on a roll, God forbid they win the cup. If the Islanders win the cup, we're going to hear all offseason long about John Tavares and how they didn't need him and all that stuff. And I swear to God, I'm going to delete my Twitter forever. Like, I won't be able to, I will not be able to handle it. So,
Barry Trotz.
I think it would be Barry.
Don't worry about that.
I don't think it'll happen. But I'm picking Pittsburgh, not only because I don't want to deal with Islanders fans, but I truly think Pittsburgh's the better team here. And I don't think that's much of a bold statement either.
Home ice, though, for New York, I think is going to be key. And I really don't want to underestimate Barry Trotz, no matter how young this team is. Man, they look good. They look really good. And you talk about hot goaltending. That team, if they get on a roll...
Robin Leonard's the man.
If they get on a roll with Leonard in net for these first two rounds... And yes, I want Islanders Capitals second round.
Yeah.
Like, there's no question. Sign me up for 7 games of that, because I want to hear all the Barry Trotz narratives.
Leonard's whole story is just amazing. Like, if you don't know Robin Leonard's story, I really encourage you to go online and just check it out and read up on the guy. He really is, like, a great story. I hope he wins some sort of award this offseason, because he kind of deserves it. So,
I probably have to Google it myself, because I'm not sure if any of us know off the top of my head. Do we know if he was nominated for the Masterton?
He was.
He must have been.
He was, yep. Yeah.
Give him the Masterton.
Yeah. At the very least. All right. So now we're going to the Western Conference. Let's go ahead and just start off. Golden Knights, Sharks. Who are we taking in this series? I'm taking Golden Knights in 6. Not the Sharks.
I'm on a Golden Knights podcast. Edit that out.
Jesus. All right. Ratings. Well, there go the ratings again. I said in my preview today, because I've been really hanging on Vegas in 5 for the last week and a half. I'll go 6. I think just it's going to be really hard to beat this team at home. Like, I know they struggled a little bit this year, but we're talking about an environment that any team went into T-Mobile. No, that it is a party. That team is going to be jacked up. If Vegas gets a split in the first two, they're going to win 3 and 4. And maybe I'll give San Jose game 5 and Vegas takes it in 6.
When is Lil really... John coming? What games is he going to?
Game 3. He'll probably be there game 3.
Okay, because if he's not, I'll physically harm someone. I'll be really upset.
No.
So,
I also think they win in 6. I think that they win every single home game as well. I mean, clearly the key is going to be the away games here. That's going to be where the Golden Knights are going to have to, like, prove that not only that they're worthy of winning this series, but that they're a threat going forward. Because, I mean, we all know how amazing of a venue T-Mobile is.
Jillian, did you have them in 6 as well?
They're going to have to win on the road.
Yeah, I mean, that seems reasonable. But I don't think Vegas is that intimidated about being on the road, because they were able to close out series on the road last year. I think, actually, the Capitals and the Knights clinched every series on the road, like, leading up to the Cup. Yes, which is rare, but Vegas. If they can get one of the first two, that would be huge. But 6. I'll go 6.
Okay.
I would not Calgary, be shocked Colorado. If Vegas wins
so
game 1.
Colorado, this is the team that won the cup in my NHL 19 simulation. I don't think anybody has Colorado winning the cup. Real life, but this will be an interesting series. I think Colorado is better than what people give them credit for.
Another coin flip.
Yeah. I'm taking Calgary, but I think Colorado can take this to at least 6 games.
The key is going to be Mikko Rantanen, and he's healthy. He's going to be back, and he's going to be healthy.
I think also Grubauer will be...
Grubauer is going to be a big thing,
too. If they don't get the goaltending, then... It might be an issue, but I actually have Colorado in this one. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, Danny.
No.
You have Colorado in this series?
Yeah.
Wow. Can you imagine?
I mean, it's unlikely, but
I don't think it's as
the way Calgary
as people
played
think.
This year. Yeah, I mean, as long as Grubauer can be decent, I don't see that as being crazy.
I just want the Flames to advance so we can see more of those throwback uniforms, those throwback sweaters that they're going to be wearing. Can they just
Ryan's
bring those back full
is
time?
Based on the
jerseys. Can they bring back the Atlanta ones just for the hell of it?
Winnipeg's third jersey is just the Thrashers jersey.
No, not even that. When they were the Atlanta Flames,
Atlanta. Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can bring back the Thrashers jerseys. I mean, I'm not opposed to that. I love the. Do you guys know about the fake Thrashers account on Twitter?
Yeah, it's amazing.
No, it's
freaking fantastic.
It's really a must follow, honestly.
Yes. So it really is not out of the realm of possibility because we, and I keep harping on goaltending. You need goaltending at this time of year. We don't know about Calgary's goaltending.
Yeah.
That is why I think if Vegas beats Calgary in the second round, they can beat Calgary. This is going to be a track meet. There are going to be a lot of 6-5, 5-4 games.
This is
going
to be a high scoring series. This might be the highest scoring series of the whole postseason, I think.
Yeah, the most goals, we're probably going to get like a 40-39 combined at this rate. That's how many games are going to – there's not many goals going to be scored. I think Colorado can push them to 6. It's just I don't know. Calgary just might have enough on the top line. And I have to keep in mind, they haven't been in the playoffs in a while. So this can be a thing for Calgary. They're a good young team that doesn't have a lot of playoff experience. Does that play a factor? I don't know. But I can see Colorado pushing it to a 6. I just it's so hard for me to say that Calgary loses in the first round, which would be so freaking ridiculous.
Nashville, Denver, Dallas. Not Denver. We were just talking about Denver.
What?
Nashville, Dallas. Even though their owner came out and publicly shamed his players and just annihilated them verbally on The Athletic, I don't think that's going to be enough to get them past Nashville. What about you guys?
I think it's going to be close, but I think it's going to be much closer than people might think. But I know, Danny, you just said Dallas.
I got Nashville.
I give Nashville the edge, but I think it's going to be close. I mean, Dallas was really, really impressive down the stretch. And Nashville struggled to score. So I think it could go 7.
Ellis, who do you got?
I choose Nashville. I don't really have a particular reason why.
I think it fully depends what version of Pecorine they get.
Yeah.
If they get the Pecorine that was in the last couple of games in the Winnipeg series, they're toast.
Yeah.
And the way Ben Bishop is playing, he probably will win the Vezina. Ben Bishop will. And if the Ben and Sagan lines get going, oh dear sweet Jesus, they are so freaking good. And if Dallas can also figure it out defensively, which they have not done in my entire life as a fan of the Stars, they might be able to do it. I really think Dallas can, and maybe part of it's just me for kind of hoping of a Vegas-Dallas Western Conference final, but I'm really thinking Dallas can beat Nashville. It's just Nashville, I think, I don't know, they haven't looked as great since the deadline, and, you know, they added Simmons and I don't know. I just don't know if they've got enough in the tank offensively. And if it becomes a track meet, Dallas has got them right where they want them.
Winnipeg, St. Louis. I cannot wait for this series because, frankly, I think St. Louis might be one of the most dangerous teams in the Western Conference right now.
This is such a crapshoot.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have no idea.
I'm going to be honest with you. Aside from Vegas, St. Louis is my favorite team of this entire thing. Like, I'm going to be watching St. Louis every single game. I think they're so much fun. We were talking before the show, and Ellis, you know, she brought this up. Do they go to the playoffs without having a puppy? Like, if they didn't get that dog, if they didn't get that dog to keep each other from fighting each other in practice, where are they right now? You know?
I think, yeah, Bennington helped, but the puppy...
The puppy was the real thing that put them over the edge.
They got to rename that puppy Benny or Bennington or something, because that kid, holy
what's its name? Barkley?
Yeah.
Barclay.
That's such
like Barclay Center.
I want to know what the inspiration was behind that name, but
we'll never know.
A player.
I mean,
I looked it up. No there's like a
Barclay Goudreau of the Sharks.
Well, regardless, I'm not saying that the St. Louis Blues became a better team because of the puppy. I'm just saying it happened after they got the puppy.
That's a fair analysis. That's a fair analysis.
I think the Blues are so fascinating this season. Man, to think of where they were when the Golden Knights played their first game against them of the season and what has happened since that. It's just, I think it's the coolest like trajectory of any team in the NHL this whole season.
I just love that Ryan O'Reilly basically came in there and said, no, we're fucking going to the playoffs. Like, I'm not going to let you guys ruin this.
So good.
And he just played his ass off. And now they're possibly the most dangerous team in the postseason. Like, I don't think anybody had a stretch like them in the second half after after the turn of the new year quite like they did. So,
thank you, Buffalo.
I got St. Louis, and I want to say six.
Buffalo.
Oof. It's just such a crapshoot.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Because Winnipeg has not looked great.
Can be dangerous.
Can be dangerous also. They have also not looked great. Bufflin
is Line A going to show up?
Just now getting healthy. Yeah, is Line A going to show up? I mean, St. Louis is such a nightmare defensively and is such a nightmare offensively, obviously, because, I mean, I feel like we're in the twilight zone because we've almost gone a full year not having to mention the name Vladimir Tarasenko.
Yeah.
But here we are, as he's now become your secondary offensive guy in St. Louis. I don't know, man. That series is going to be a bloodbath for whoever gets through. I you know what? I keep with the theme of hot goaltending. Give me St. Louis in six, yeah. Bennington is just so fucking good.
Except against Dallas.
Except against Dallas.
Except against the one.
Yeah.
Ooh, Dallas St. Louis second round revenge 3 years later. Ooh, that might be something.
Folks, I regret to inform you that is about all the time we have for you guys. However,
we're only predicting the first round?
Only the first round, yes.
All right.
Because then we're going through this whole bracket. It's like, at this point, it's like throwing darts. You have no idea, you know?
I like throwing darts.
So we're going to go ahead. We're wrapping this thing up. I think what we're going to do is once we beat the Sharks, that's right, beating the Sharks, we will be back for another season preview or another series preview of Vegas and Colorado or Calgary. We're feeling pretty confident right here, guys. I'm assuming we're all on the same page here. Maybe I'm jinxing us a little bit, but you know what? I'm not afraid of jinxes. That's all right. I've jinxed worse things before. So we'll go ahead and get that to you. Also, let's not forget, you got to get that We Got Stoned shirt, guys. Don't forget to get your We Got Stoned t-shirts. You have to wear it to the Fortress. Game one, or the first game in Vegas for the Sharks Vegas series, you got to wear the We Got Stoned shirt. They are awesome. Breaking Tee is just fantastic. If you don't already know about Breaking Tee's apparel, you need to. They do such a good job. And that obviously did not change for us. What a great partnership we have with them. So make sure to get your t-shirt. And even if you don't, you know what? Continue to rock that Fortress like we know that you can. It's going to be a fun series. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of fireworks for this one. And that's about it. Do you guys have any comments, questions, concerns, shameless plugs that you want to throw in there?
We will be in San Jose tomorrow.
This is a fact. San Jose tomorrow. Danny, you are going to be there. What time is your flight for tomorrow?
My flight is at 5:30.
Oh, boy.
Ooh.
It's better than a red
eye. Well, I'm telling you this. It's a nonstop flight, and I am hoping, knock on wood, that I don't get another Washington, D.C. debacle.
Oh, man, that sucked. Yeah, I remember you telling me about that.
I could save that story for another time. Yeah. If it's a... Maybe on the 1 year anniversary, which is June 2nd, I can probably tell that story again. That was not fun, but we will be there, or at least I will be there. But as KOI, we will be there. Game one tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. at SAP Center. We'll figure out something we can do post game, or something I'll do post game if it's exciting or whatnot. We'll figure it out. But
yeah,
we will be there. Catch all our content. Catch all of our what we're writing. Got some interesting things coming in the pipeline in the next couple of days, so should be good.
Fact. Alrighty, guys, have a good one, and we will see you later on in the series.